Good evening. Glad to see everyone out this evening. Are you bringing your best to worship? Are you bringing your best when you're out in the world for all to see Christ? Sadly, people will bring their best to sports. They will train hard, prepare their bodies, their minds, their hearts to go out onto a field and compete and win. People will bring their best to their jobs because they look to get that raise, to get a higher position within a certain company. They will bring their best. But when they come to worship, if they come to worship, their minds, their hearts are not in it. They come to check a box, and they think that is enough. That will get me to heaven. Well, the truth is, no, there's more to it. When we look at Malachi, once again, he is a minor prophet, but he is dealing with Israel, and Israel has had a rough go at things. And Israel has not been bringing their best to God. And of course, we see time and time again, they were punished for not bringing their best. But they would bring their best for other gods, which there are no other gods, but they would bring their best. Yet God would be treated second in all their efforts. And so, once again, are you bringing your best to God? When we look at Malachi chapter 1, verse 6, a son honors his father, and a servant his master. If then I am the father, where is my honor? And if I am a master, where is my reverence, says the Lord of hosts, to your priest who despise my name? Yet you say, in what way have we despised your name? A father will receive honor from his children, and a master will receive reverence from their servants. Yet many do not show that same type of attitude towards our God, holy and just God. We do not fear God today like we should. We don't. We don't honor him. And I have been among those who have not. My early Christian life was a rough one. That first day when you come out of the water, it's wonderful. But then you start seeing things. You start seeing how the world is. The blinders have been taken off. And then life comes after you. Satan comes after you. He beats you down until to a point where you just give up and you give in to sin. You give in to these worldly things. And you stop honoring God. You stop showing reverence to God. You stop bringing your best. And Israel here, they have. We will honor people when they deserve that honor. We will honor things that deserve that honor. We will show reverence to those who have earned it. Has God not earned honor and earned that reverence? Absolutely, he has. And we see that by his actions when he sent his only son down here to be humiliated, mocked, scourged, and crucified. He absolutely deserves every bit of it and more. But how was Israel here not showing honor, not showing reverence? Well, we can look at their past and we can see what they were not doing. But what is one way we can honor God? Well, one way is we see in 1 Corinthians 6, verse 20. And I did it again. For we were bought at a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Now, in this section of text, Paul is dealing with the Corinthians, and they are struggling with sexual sin, sexual immorality. And Paul here sets them straight. And so we see if one is joined to a prostitute, to a harlot, they become one flesh. We understand as husband and wife, you are joined together. You become one flesh. The body and the spirit belong to God. And when we glorify God, when we are living right, when we are living holy, when we come to know Him, we become one with Him. We are unified. God the Father, Christ the Son, and the Holy Spirit are one with us. The church is one body, the head being Christ. And so we see here, if we are using our bodies for other sinful means, at that point, we're not honoring God like we should be. We're not showing reverence to God, are we? We're not showing that godly fear. Yet we are giving ourselves over to sin. And that's what Israel was doing. They were giving themselves over to idols. Now, when we look at how Rome, you know, they had temples built. Now, at this time, no. But when we look at Rome during the New Testament period, what we see is that Rome would have temples built to these false gods. And the things that were taking place in these places were not holy, were not well at all. And we even look back in the Old Testament, other nations, pagan nations, they were practicing child sacrifice. Is this what Israel was supposed to partake in? No. To them, if they partook in these activities, these sinful activities, at this point, they're not honoring God. They're not showing reverence to Him. They're showing honor to false gods. They're showing reverence to these false gods. And so with Corinth here, they were struggling. And Paul lays it out. He says, your body was bought at a price. And what was that price? Christ's life. He came and died for us. We were bought with His blood. This body doesn't belong to us. And we see so many today, my body, my choice. It isn't your body. It's not. Your bodies were bought. As we look in 1 Samuel 2:30, going back to Eli and his sons, and there are plenty of examples of this, but we see they did not honor. Eli honored his sons over God, did he not? He honored his sons. His sons were not doing right. They were priests. They were priests. And we see that same problem here in Malachi chapter 1. The priests were not doing right. They were not honoring God. They were not showing reverence. And so when we look at 1 Samuel 2:30, here's the consequences for what Eli and his sons were doing. It says, therefore, the Lord God of Israel says, I said indeed that your house and the house of your father would walk before me forever. But now the Lord says, far be it from me, for those who honor me, I will honor. And those who despise me shall be lightly esteemed. Brothers and sisters, there comes a time when we must show God honor. And it's every day. Not just when we gather here on Sunday mornings, Sunday evenings, Wednesday nights. Every single day we take our first breath when we wake. We are called to show that honor to God and to show reverence to Him. Not use this life that we've been given to practice sin, to live in sin. Because when we sin, we know we are separated from God at that moment because God is a holy God. He cannot be a part of sin. He cannot be around sin, for He is a holy God, a just God. And that's why when we see Israel, when they were punished, invading armies were brought in, taking them captive. At that point, they were separated. You know, I tell people this, we have a close relationship with God today. The people of old, in the Old Testament, they didn't have a they had a relationship, but it wasn't a relationship like ours. Because we now have the redeeming blood of Christ washing our sins away, and it makes us clean. We look at the priests before they could enter into the Holy of Holies. They had to go through a cleansing ritual before they could go in. And they had to sprinkle the blood of the bulls and goats on each part they were commanded to sprinkle. But thankfully, we no longer have to do that because we have the perfect high priest who came and died for us. And so we must show him honor. We should show him reverence. Because when we look at verses 7 and 8 of Malachi 1, what we see is that God calls them out. And we see that they wouldn't have offered this to the governor. Would we offer ourselves, would we show honor and reverence to the President of the United States? Absolutely we would. If he came to our homes or she came to our homes, we're going to give them the best day. We're going to put out the best china. We're going to be, if you still use china, I prefer paper plates. But you would put out the best. You would cook your best and let them eat it. You wouldn't give them a hot pocket out of the microwave. You wouldn't give them a pizza. You would offer your best to them. And so, why offer a sacrifice with blemish? When the Israelites were called to offer a sacrifice without blemish, Malachi chapter 1, verses 7 and 8, it says, "You offer defiled food on my altar, but say, in what way have we defiled you? By saying, the table of the Lord is contemptible. And when you offer the blind as a sacrifice, is it not evil? And when you offer the lame and sick, is it not evil? Offer it then to your governor. Would he be pleased with you? Would he accept you favorably, says the Lord of hosts?" Do you think if they offered that to the governor, think he'd be pleased? No. Think if you didn't offer your best to the president, do you think he'd be pleased? I don't know. Probably not. If you went to work and you didn't do your best, do you think your boss would be pleased with you? You'd probably be fired. If you didn't do your best in a sporting event, do you think you'll win? Do you think people will be pleased? Your coach will be pleased? No. And so why would we not offer our best? Because when we look in places like Leviticus chapter 1, verse 3, and verse 10, and verse 14, what we have here is the burnt offering, right? Verse 3, "If his offering is a burnt sacrifice of the herd, let him offer a male without blemish. He shall offer it of his own free will at the door of the tabernacle of meeting before the Lord." They were to offer the best of their flock, of their herd, when they were doing the burnt offering. In verse 10, "If this offering is of the flocks, of the sheep, or of the goats, as a burnt sacrifice, he shall bring a male without blemish." Once again, God wanted their best. Verse 14, "And if the burnt sacrifice of this offering to the Lord is of birds, then he shall bring his offering of turtle doves or young pigeons." Now, once again, we don't see here without blemish, but it was to be the best. And of course, with the birds, the doves or young pigeons, that was for the ones who could not afford the bulls and goats. The poor folks would use these pigeons and turtle doves, but it was to be the best. We go all the way back to Cain and Abel. Cain did not offer the first fruits of the ground. He did not offer his best, and he was rejected for it. Abel, on the other hand, offered his best. Do we offer our best? Do we, when we come here, and I'm not talking about just dressing. Yes, you need to be presentable. Absolutely. But if your best is a t-shirt and jeans, You're offering your best. But not just clothing, not what you wear, but how you worship. If your mind and heart is not in it, are you offering your best to God in worship? We're not even talking about money. We go back to the widow who gave her last cent. And Christ said great things, that she gave her all to him, her last cent that could have been used for something to eat possibly. We have to understand, brothers and sisters, it's not about money, it's not about clothing, it's about what's here and here when we come here. Our minds and hearts set on God, and it should be. You know, sometimes I remember I've gotten distracted because didn't eat breakfast, so you're sitting there hungry. When a preacher goes and preaches for an hour, you grow restless, don't you? I've learned that as a preacher, that people can't sit here for an hour, and I don't even think I could speak for an hour, to be honest. Sure, I could. But once again, do we bring our best within the hour that we do worship with the singing? It doesn't matter if you have the most beautiful voice or if you have the worst voice. Sing out for all to hear. You're giving your best for God. You understand why you're here when you are worshiping Him. We are showing Him honor. We are showing Him reverence. Yet many don't understand that. They go and they check off that box and they say, well, I worship God on Sunday morning. I'm good for the week. No, you're not. Because it's not just worshiping God and showing Him an honor and reverence here, but out there as well, throughout the week. Are we living right? Are we living in sin or are we not living in sin? Because if we're living in sin, we're not honoring Him. We're not showing Him reverence. One of my teachers told me when we were in preaching school, we heard all kinds of war stories, if you wanted to say it that way. And he said, there are people that will show up on Sunday mornings dressed like harlots. They don't care. They're not into worship. You can tell sometimes too. Now, some people hide it better, but they show no reverence. They show no honor for God when they enter in to these four walls. It's a sad day when these people, they say they worship God, they worship Him in spirit and in truth, but they don't act like it. They're not excited to be here. They're not happy to be here. I understand if you didn't get sleep the night before and be dozing off. I understand that. Your child keeps you awake, or if you did have to work overtime, but you still made it here because you wanted to still show honor and reverence to God. That's a wonderful thing. But there are some who get all the kinds of rest and they come here and they do not. But when they go out there as well, they act like the world. And that is not doing right. And so when we look at the third point, bring your best. And of course, the one text that I love to go to, and I think it rings out all through for us to remember and memorize, is Romans 12, 1 and 2. Because once again, the Christians here in Rome, they were faced with oppression. They had to face paganism. They lived in a sinful empire that only was centered around what they desired. And so for Christians at that time, they would have had plenty of temptation, but they desired to honor God. They desired to fear God. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. A living sacrifice. Now, we are not to go and cut ourselves for God and do all that crazy stuff, but we are to present ourselves a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable to God. Are we? Are we to give our best both mentally, spiritually, put all of our hearts into worshiping God and living for Him daily? Absolutely, because in verse 2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. Those who have conformed to the world, those who live as the world lives, they are not presenting their bodies as a living sacrifice for God. We are to use these bodies in every way we can to glorify God, in the way we conduct ourselves, in the way we live every day. Not just between these walls, but out there. And yes, when we come here, I think about it like this. This is our war room. This is where we gather together to encourage one another, to help build one another up, to go back out into the world, to refresh, renew, and go out and face the world that is engulfed in sin. 2 Timothy 2:15, be diligent to present yourself approved to God, a worker who does not need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Be diligent to present yourself approved to God. We're not here to please the world, to please man. We don't come in here to please ourselves, to entertain ourselves. That's not what it's for. We come here to bring our best for God, to honor Him, to show reverence, to worship Him. When we come here, it's all about Him. It's not about what's going on out there. It's not about what we have cooking at home. It's not about when our favorite game or show is coming on. When we are here, our minds and our hearts should be 100% into focusing on what God has done and worshiping Him for it, because He deserves it. When we look at Israel, going back to our main text here, they were not doing what they had been called to do. The priests were offering polluted food to the altar. They weren't bringing their best. They weren't doing what God has commanded them to do. And when people did that, consequences were paid. And a lot of times it was paid with their life. We go to Nadab and Abihu. They offered strange fire, and they were engulfed by fire. We look at Eli and his sons. Eli died. His sons died. The Ark of the Covenant was taken. Eli fell over, broke his neck. His whole bloodline was wiped out. His house would not be forever. We go to Saul, who was the first king of Israel. He made a big mistake by offering a sacrifice that was not his to offer, and then going and disobeying God's commands to wipe out a whole town. He didn't. And for that, him and his bloodline would be wiped out. His kingdom would not last forever. But it would be David who would come. Even David made a big mistake. He committed murder, committed adultery. But the difference between Saul and David, David understood, and he came with godly sorrow and he repented. And he was still considered a man after God's own heart. That's a man who shows honor, as a man who shows reverence to God. Do we bring our best? Are we men after God's own heart when we come here and when we are at home or when we are at work or school? That's the question we need to answer tonight. Because I tell people, if you come here looking to be entertained, you're wasting your time. Stay home. Just like coaches, if you're not going to give 100% on the field, why show up? Why practice? Why even be a part of the sporting event? We must be ready to give God 100% of our time every day. And I know it's hard to do. But if you're not a Christian this evening, I pray and hope that you decide to give Him your life, because it'll be the greatest decision you ever make. Don't wait until tomorrow or next week or next month. Give your life to Him this evening. Give Him all of you, not just part of you. This is how you do it. You must hear the word, Luke 11:28. You must believe, John 3:16. You must repent of your sins, Acts 3:19. You must confess your faith in Christ Jesus, Romans 10:10. You must be baptized for the remission of your sins, Acts 2:38. But then, the hard part, you must remain faithful, Hebrews 10:23. And that means you must give Him all of you, 100%. Or if you are a Christian, you have slipped up. You haven't been given Him 100%. You haven't brought your best to God. Well, now's the night's tonight to come forward, to renew your walk with Him, to refresh and get back out there and give Him all of you. Come forward and allow us to assist you in any way. So if you're here this evening and you need assistance, come while we stand and while we sing.